It's time for JT the Brick.
Raiders defense is no joke. The offensive line is good. The Raider defensive line is better. We all agree on that, right? Mad Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins, those guys are train wreckers.
There's definitely a little tinkering going on. We'll see, you know, what sticks, and we'll put, you know, the best version of our defense out there, you know, at the beginning of the season, and hopefully it keeps improving.
But our freaking D-line is nasty. The D-line of the Raiders is nasty the way it used to be.
JT the Brick.
But this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going into L.A. like Russell Crowe in Gladiator going into Rome. Okay, this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going to be like the movie Gladiator, leading everyone into Los Angeles. And he ain't joking.
And now,
don't worry about our quarterback, buddy. Worry about yours.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT, on a beautiful day here in Vegas. No more 115, no more 110, please. We're getting into 103s, 106s. Let's get below 100 and let's get through the hottest summer in Las Vegas history. Remember, when it's this hot and it's this hot, it doesn't rain much. You get a little sprinkling. They claim there's some monsoons coming. Not on my side of town. If you go into deep, deep, deep Henderson, you might get some wind and a monsoon. We don't get much weather, Bobby, out in Summerlin or over here, man. But this was a hot, hot, hot summer. Tried to get away for some of it. Costa Mesa was beautiful, beautiful. And now hopefully we'll get down below 100. And there's going to be a couple of hot days still left. And we got a hot night tonight over at Allegiant Stadium. I'll be on the field with the microphone in front of, I don't know what the number is. There's a lot of fake numbers running out there now in politics. How many showed up at your rally? Oh, no, how much showed up at yours? Oh, my God, how many showed up at your rally? I promise you the Raiders will have a bigger attended event tonight than any political rally recently. We're going to have 35 to 40,000 fans. I hope you're all going and get there early, sit wherever you want, go have a good time, and we'll be on the field there with some interviews, the coaches, the players. I'm supposed to be interviewing Mad Max, Marvin Lewis, some of the players. It's kind of getting worked out now. They're doing an unbelievable job with the events team there. There's going to be great music, entertainment. There'll be food and beverages served, and you'll have a great time. This is an event if you can go to get there. I believe, and I'm going to be careful on this, Bobby, but I believe it is the largest Raiders practice of all time. Unless I'm missing one in L.A. Did I miss something? Did the Coliseum have an open practice with 50,000 people? They might have. I've hosted Raider rallies in Oakland that had 15,000 people, but it wasn't a practice per se. This is going to be big tonight, and the players are going to go out there and practice because they need to practice. And let's see what we get out of that, and that'll be in advance of the Dallas Cowboy game coming into this weekend, where Dallas is in the news every second of every day because CeeDee Lamb's holding out. With CeeDee Lamb holding out and Dak Prescott looking for more money, isn't it great? A lot of these guys who are just pretty good, Dak's really good. Dak would be a great Raider quarterback. He would be a great Raider quarterback, Dak Prescott. But hold your horses. We got two pretty good ones here. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, and they're competing for the starting job. And we should know about that. According to Antonio Pierce, after the game, he might want to go home and have a beverage and hang out with his family and not make the announcement until Sunday or Monday. That's not where my pay grade is. But he's going to announce the quarterback before the Niner game. And then we're going to have that to talk about. And that'll be big because that'll be the focus of our show the rest of the way. And I truly believe that Raider Nation's going to get behind this quarterback pick. I'm hoping they do. I really believe that Raider fans who knew that Jim Plunkett was a third, fourth string quarterback when Al Davis brought him over here to rest, or when Rich Gannon was brought in as a journeyman who was playing better, but he was a journeyman. That's a compliment. He was a journeyman. And then he came here and became an MVP. I'm not saying Gardner or Aiden are going to be an MVP eventually. I don't know. But I know that Raider Nation can get behind one of these two. You get behind both of them because they're probably going to both play this year. But it's very important that we start off the year in the Raider Nation with some sincere positivity for the quarterback. I mean, that's what being a fan's all about. You didn't like the former coach. I knew that. You knew that. I had to go to work every day, be respectful to a guy who was respectful to me. All the coaches from Lane Kiffin to Norv Turner to Jack Del Rio, to all the ones that I've worked with in the past, have always had a great relationship because it's business. But now we have Antonio Pierce, and he's going to pick a quarterback. And I hope you get behind the coach's decision. the last thing we need in the Raider Nation, criticism's fair. Criticism's more than fair. But before Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew start week one at the Chargers, you would think, like I always say, Raider Nation unite. You would believe, wouldn't you, that the Raider Nation will be united with this decision? Or am I crazy? Now, I'm not saying you're going to be united after the Baltimore game or going into another game during the season. I don't know what you're going to do. But I would hope that you would be united as a fan base going into week one in a what feels like a playoff game. It really does. I'm putting a lot into this first game because the Charger fans are coming after me hard. The Wolves are at the door. There's not many Charger fans. I don't need you just yet. Me and a black hole chapter of L.A. and Vegas can hold off these Charger fans. Just two chapters of the 40 of the black hole can hold off these fans. But they're coming after me if we don't win that game. I can tell you that. They're coming after me hard. I'm going to be a meme for those fans if we don't win that game. So I'm going all in. Why not? It's radio. Who cares? You know, when I started in radio, Bobby, everybody cared. How am I going to get to the top? How am I going to get on the top 20 list of midday shows? Like, that ever mattered, ever. How am I going to get in the top three of the syndicated shows, right? We did pretty good over this long run here. Now nobody cares. Nobody cares about anything now. People are in their phones. They have to put food on the table, groceries, gas in the car, and people don't care. We care about Raider games winning, win or lose. We want to win them all. That's what we care about. And we're going to be judged by how many games the Raiders win. And we're going to be judged, I'm going to be judged, by how good of a radio show that I produce, win or lose. And I'm proud of that. We do the same show. Talk to Chris Matthews today from 8 News Now. He's locked in every other Friday. The other guy on Friday's Vic Taffer. Today we have Jason Horowitz, voice of the Raiders, coming up in 10 minutes. How about this for a first hour? Jason Horowitz, voice of the Raiders, Vinny Bonsignor, bottom of the hour, and the longest tenured Raider insider, Bill Williamson, at 12:45. That's the way I want this show to sound every week. And hopefully with their winning, fans will be excited. Usually program directors will tell you not the one here because Q wants to win because Q's embedded with this flagship station. Program directors in sports usually like when the team loses because more people listen, because they're miserable and they're upset, and they call in and they listen closer. I don't look at it that way. I want to go undefeated. I want to win all the games. I want to get out there and do it. So the fan base, I believe, is united. They'll be united around. I mean, how could you not be united around this quarterback decision? What's going to be the decision? Aiden O'Connell, okay. You can't get behind Aiden? Young kid in the league, married guy, really good faith-based guy, good guy, everybody likes him. How could you not get behind him? And if it's Minshew mania and Gardner Minshew gets it, you know, everybody's going to want Gardner to get off to a really good start so the team can build momentum. So I'm not worried about that, but that's the topic we've been waiting on, and we've been waiting on for a long time since Gardner Minshew was signed by Tom Telesco because that quarterback market was drying up pretty quickly. So it was drying up pretty quickly, the quarterback market, and Tom was like, let's get our guy because everybody else is going somewhere else. J.J. McCarthy is out for the season with a torn meniscus, and that hurts. He's a good kid. I called his first interception, Jack Jones. Jack Jones intercepted him. I never thought that that'd be the last. He had a good game. I thought J.J. McCarthy played really well in that game. But he was going up against the Raiders twos and threes when the starters came out of the game. There's no Christian Wilkins and Max Crosby. But J.J. McCarthy has a bright future in front of him. It's really sad that after winning a national championship for Michigan and a guy that I thought would start this year, because seeing him with my own eyes last weekend in Minneapolis, he was really good, but Jack Jones got him. J.J. McCarthy in the shotgun, three wide receivers to the left. McCarthy's got time, setting up, looking, the pressure's coming. Throws it out to the left. Intercepted. Jack Jones comes across. That's an interception by number 18. The way he played in Costa Mesa. He's playing here in downtown Minneapolis. Yeah, that's EA with the diabolical laugh in the background. We call the J.J. McCarthy interception, and he will not play the rest of the year. Unfortunate. Good player. And he would have played. And now Sam Darnold doesn't have to look over his shoulder anymore. Sam Darnold might have played the first two games of the year, and then they give it to J.J. McCarthy. Why not? Now Sam Darnold is in a really good position. He doesn't want anybody to be hurt. But he's going to start. They don't have anything behind J.J. McCarthy that can unseat Sam Darnold here. So that's it. That's how it looks for him. Really unfortunate. The Hassan Reddick situation is getting dicey with the Jets. There is a standoff here. And then every day when I wake up, we look for new news on Brandon Ayuk. And it looks like they're trying to get a deal done. The 49ers came back. The 49ers came back to the table. And they want to do a deal. And they're probably getting closer on this. So I don't know how to tell you this on what's going to happen with Ayuk, but what I did say, and I believe this, if Ayuk does not play for the 49ers, if he does not play, I don't think the 49ers can win the Super Bowl. If Ayuk does play for the 49ers, I think they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I really do. I think they have the best roster top to bottom. Top to bottom right now. So that's where we stand as we open it up. According to Frank Schwab, senior writer, over at Yahoo, the Ayuk deal to the Steelers reportedly awaits a decision from the Niners, but then the Niners came back with a better offer, and now the Niners are in the hunt to try to do this deal. I'm going to stand by Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, and their reporting as I'm refreshing my phone here to see if there's anything new, and that's what's going to happen here. So we're going to wait and see what happens to the 49ers. We want to talk about that on the show because he's a hell of a player, and he's a top 10 receiver in the league. And to get into that category, you got to be pretty good. So that's where we stand. The top headlines from Ian Rappaport today. The Niners have a deal with the Steelers for Brandon Ayuk, but he has but, and that's just open for a tease. J.J. McCarthy gone for the year. Hard Knocks recap, and Tavon Austin retires. So it's summertime radio, man. We're just kind of cruising through the summer. Don't want to see anybody get hurt. Was out at practice last night. Man, that was gorgeous. So last night I emceed a chalk talk with Roland Williams over at Allegiant Stadium. Then it was done. I took the suit off. I ran over to practice, watched about 40 minutes of practice. The sun was setting over in Henderson. God, it was gorgeous. Oh, my God. Give me more of that. Give me more sunset practices. I don't know if the coach loves it, players at their body clock and all that. But, man, it was gorgeous out there last night. Prepping for the show today, and then I'm out of here to go to the practice tonight where I'll be on the field, hopefully corresponding with you. They might even have one of those T-shirt guns. You know, Bobby, you know me. I've always said this as a grown-ass man. As a man, you can never go ever attempt to grab a T-shirt. That is the lowest form of being a man. If there are children and women, you cannot put your hand up as a 38-year-old guy with a beard and bump into a kid and grab his T-shirt, okay? But I support T-shirt guns, okay, because they shoot T-shirts into the crowd. But how many times have you seen grown-ass men go like this if you're watching me waving? Guys in their 40s with beer guts going, shoot the shirt here, please. And there's like an 11-year-old girl and a 9-year-old boy, and they got a beer in their hand, and they're reaching over a row to get a T-shirt. Come on, man. Come on, guys. Let the kids have the T-shirts, man. Let the kids have the T-shirts. There's some things that I will never, ever, ever do. You know, I've never booed my team in any sport. I've never cupped my hands and went, boo. Now, I've thrown beer at cups down, angry, off an interception or a home run, walk-off home run by the other team. I've cursed, but I've never booed my team. I think that's terrible. Oh, I'm a fan. I pay for tickets. I can do whatever I want. Good, you do that. I support the teams that I support. I don't boo them. And I don't reach for T-shirts. I don't reach for T-shirts at basketball or baseball games or football practices. So we'll see that. And, you know, if you get a T-shirt, hand it to a kid. If you catch a T-shirt, I bet you Jason Horowitz agrees with me. Jason, when you're at a game with your kids, your daughter and son, and they're shooting the T-shirts, you would never get in the way and try to grab a T-shirt over a kid. Tonight at Allegiant Stadium, they're going to have a T-shirt gun. The kids should get the T-shirts, not a 40-year-old guy with a beer gut and a beer in his hand.
Well, the best way to, like, prevent that is to only shoot kid size in the T-shirt.
Yes, that would help.
Like, if you're only launching T-shirts that are youth medium or youth small, I mean, I guess that's not fair to the 11-year-olds who are bigger and need a youth large, but you get the point.
I get the point. You and I, me on radio, In For You, and you on television, called the J.J. McCarthy interception by Jack Jones, and now we find out he's gone for the year with the meniscus tear. Kind of sad. I liked him a lot. What was your analysis of him and his play for the Vikings?
So, So I thought he was, you know, listen, first game for a quarterback preseason rookie is supposed to be rough. And I thought there were good moments and there were bad moments against our starters and then our second unit. But against our guys who either aren't going to be on the roster or, you know, the guys who are 50, 51, 52, he looked dominant. You know, so I don't, you know, however you want to take that, he still had to make great throws. He still had to have great touch. He showed great deep ball. He had some good accuracy on the sideline. So I get why Vikings fans and a lot of front office folks in the draft process were very excited about J.J. McCarthy. He's an accurate passer. You know, was a 72% guy in college last year, and I got why Vikings fans were so excited to hopefully have their guy for 12 years. It stinks that, you know, he's a two-quarter and torn meniscus guy. And now out for the year. That does stink for them. I will say this, though, about Sam Darnold. You know, we saw him last year fighting for a job with the Niners, and I know he hasn't really had as much success as people would think when you're going to be the third overall pick in the draft 7 years ago. His first drive, though, until that last two passes was pretty good. So whatever you take away from one drive is just one drive, but I don't think the Vikings season is lost yet.
Jason Horowitz joins us. So what was your takeaway from the Raiders, the starters, when Max and Christian Wilkins was out there? Jack Jones had an interception. Zamir White had a touchdown. There was no Devontae there. Yeah. A couple of big-picture takeaways from the booth in Minneapolis.
Big-picture takeaway is our starters, and then the combo of starters with second-unit guys was very good. And the offense that has been such a complaint and understandably so a concern during the preseason put together four scoring drives in the first half. One of those was on a short field, but the other three weren't, right? Aiden put together, they started at the five-yard line, and before the sack, he had driven inside the Vikings five on, 13 plays or whatever that was. So I thought that was extremely impressive. I thought, you know, special teams, there's a blocked field goal. There's awareness by a guy in Phelan Sanford, who's a former walk-on at Nebraska, to bring that back and set up a short field. I think it's a little bit disappointing, some of the letdowns they had on big plays in the first half. I know Antonio Pierce, when he talked to us at halftime on TV, was not happy about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that certainly is something that, especially because we've been heard how great the defense is going to be, and not to say that it wasn't or isn't going to be, but I think that's the one thing that would be a concern, big plays. But other than that, if you take the first 30 minutes of football, which is when you saw starters and backups, I think Raiders fans should be very excited about this team.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Jason Horowitz, voice of the Raiders. The decision coming up here, I was at practice last night, just like Costa Mesa. There's nothing really to get out of it unless you're deep diving into the film on footwork and pocket presence, which you're doing. This game seems to be pretty important. As Antonio Pierce told us, that he'll make a decision sometime after this game. How have you been watching this quarterback competition that isn't a controversy yet? Because some people and some fans and insiders are not going to like the decision.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's some people who want Aiden O'Connell to be the backup because he's a fourth-round pick, and, you know, they watched him go to a game against the Vikings where they couldn't score. They watched him play against the Chiefs where he didn't complete a pass after the first quarter. I understand that. There are some people who don't think Gardner Minshew is a starter in this league for long-term. So I understand why both sides are going to feel one way or the other, but to me, JT, they aren't that different. And you know, it's not just going to be about what happened in preseason game one. It's not just going to be about preseason game two. It's going to be what they've seen throughout all these practices against a really good defense and being our own. So I think all of that is very important. But from a mindset, from a mentality, from a continuity, and I've said this to you from, you know, May on, I still think Aiden O'Connell has a great shot to be the guy because – he hangs in the pocket. He does not have to be an improviser. I think from a personality standpoint, if you're looking for a spark, which is what a guy off the bench is supposed to be, Gardner Minshew kind of seems to have that. You know, that kind of seems to be his personality traits too. So I do believe when it's all said and done, especially if it goes according to how we saw last week, that Aiden will be the starter. But that's not inside information. Mm-hmm. That's just a gut feeling.
Jason Horowitz is our guest. Yeah, and again, it's not a pushback for me. I don't know what's going to happen. The only thing I thought about months ago was if you were going to play Gardner early, you do it against the Harbaugh brothers who are actually scheming together. They are. I mean, that's not a secret. And you got a veteran who's played and made throws in bigger games than this one, which is an opening game, but it's pretty important to this franchise. And we've seen him win gritty, gutty games on the road throughout his career. And this is a tough test at the Chargers with Mack and Bosa, and then going up against the Ravens defense, which is always tough.
It is, but like, and I get that Carolina's not, you know, they shouldn't be very good this year, and their defensive part, Brian Burns, is now with the Giants. Mm-hmm. Like, I get all that. Why? But, like, that's, if you make that decision, you're almost putting the caveat of, like, I hope it doesn't go well. Which, because if Gardner plays well, then you're not going to make a switch anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that, but I also think that this team, whatever choice they're going to make, is going to be based off of whoever they pick, they think they can win a bunch of games with.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, again, we saw one preseason game. And remember, my first year with this team, the team went undefeated in preseason 4-0 and then started the year 2-7. So preseason doesn't mean a lick of anything other than it looked good when you had your good-on-good playing the other day.
Jason Horowitz, as we wrap it up, it's a really interesting point. It's such a strong sports radio discussion with a global fan base, because if the starter, whoever it is, doesn't look good in the first two games or doesn't win one of the first two games, I think that player is going to get benched for the other guy. I just think it's pretty obvious that that would happen coming into the home opener with one of the games on the schedule, one of the only games the Raiders will be favored. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect tonight at practice to see in this game, other than if Gardner gets the start, which I'm assuming he'll get against the Cowboys, and he comes out gangbusters and has the crowd behind him and goes, you know, 60 yards and 4-for-4 and scores, it would help him. But as you said, the same thing could happen with Aiden in the second quarter in the 2-minute drill, and we're back to debating this.
JT, is that your sense, though? Like, when you're going to walk around Allegiant tonight and you're going to walk around Saturday before the Cowboys and you're at the Torch, like, is your sense that the fan base wants Gardner to start?
No, that's a great question. I really think I have my pulse on these fans, and I don't know. I've been talking about it all summer on the radio, crickets. I know Raider fans will give them this. They will get behind the decision. They might not stay behind the decision in a month, but they're going to get behind this, and I'm hoping that happens, because these quarterbacks, I think, could win games. I think the defense has to win a few games. You called the game. You know A.J. Cole. I wanted to get this in before we wrap it up. A.J. Cole, when the Raiders with the third and fourth string quarterback didn't want to throw, which I thought was interesting at the end of the game. Why not just run a little screen and a little dump pass for 8 yards and end the game, have Minnesota burn all their timeouts? They ran it into the pile. When I look at this team now, I'm just wondering what's going to happen in the preseason game, because they don't want to show a lot. Are they going to put these quarterbacks in a position to make plays in the first half by showing at least, Jason, a little bit of a wrinkle in this game plan?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, you never want to say wins and losses don't matter, but we all know that preseason wins and losses don't matter.
Don't matter.
And the fans certainly don't care about wins and losses in the preseason. So, I get all of that. And I think what would have, I think in a perfect world, the Raiders and Luke Getsy would have seen their third and fourth string offensive linemen be able to do anything moving the pile on any running play in the second half, which they were not able to do. So I think that was probably frustrating for those guys. But, you know, those were players who are going to be practice squad, and we'll see what happens moving forward. But, like, I think from an Agent Cole's perspective, and what's interesting there, too, is, you know, Antonio Pierce told us that. We were sitting in the meeting last week. We were talking about analytics. We were talking about new age football. We were talking about Dan Campbell and how many times he goes forward on fourth down. And he's like, you know, I look over there, and I've got this punter, and he can do this, and he can do that. Like, what was the punt last week where he boomed it, angled out of bounds at the four? And it was like a 55-yarder, no return, or whatever it was. Like, that is a massive difference and a massive change. And we've seen that before. We know how much of a weapon A.J. Cole is.
He's
so
great.
And great. Not that he needs the preseason work.
No.
But I'm sure they're going to get him a couple more kicks.
Definitely. Hey, before you go, give me one Matt Millen story in the booth. Four-time Super Bowl champ. I love the guy. Just having a conversation with him about anything Raider-related is pretty cool. I mean, you got to pinch yourself. You got Gannon and Matt Millen in the booth with you.
Yeah, it was fun the other day and on the air. And at first, I wasn't sure if it was like an acceptable thing to talk about. But like, Matt, Rich started telling stories about how different, you know, back in his day versus now. And he's like, you know, back in my day, man, we drank a lot more beer. And I wasn't sure how long to let that go. And I turned to Matt, and he kind of gives me a smile. He's like, good thing I didn't never drink any. He's like, but I certainly bought a lot more. And, you know, Matt's very much loved by all the generation of the Silver and Black, right? Yeah. Guys from, you know, before he passed away, the great Jim Otto, all the way to the era of the last 10 years. So he's a football guy. He's a fan guy. He's someone who's very personable. You know, people know the story of him punching the Patriots GM and all those things. Yeah. But the reality is, Matt is, he's actually very easy to get along with and talk to.
He's great.
And he's been very welcoming since the moment I first met him.
Yeah, and that's important, and that's great. And everybody's welcome you. You're the voice of the Raiders. We'll see you this weekend. I'll see you before that, and have a good trip out here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Big dinner Friday, JT. I'll see you there.
You got it. Appreciate it. There he is. That's Jason Horowitz. We have our broadcast dinner Friday night, which is always kind of cool. Lincoln Kennedy, Eric Allen, Matt Millen, the whole staff, everybody there. So looking forward to that. And then this is one of my busiest weeks of the year because of this practice tonight. We're going to be really busy tonight. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. I promise. We'll get to everybody. Vinny Bonsignor will join us next. That was brought to you by PT's as they fuel the monologue. Go check out their happy hour. You'll see why it's the best in all of Nevada. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, PT's.
Yeah, but we got standards, and those standards never change. But it was really good job for, you know, down inside the 10-yard line. You guys know first thing we did in training camp was work on what? The red zone. And that was really good for us to see that on both sides of the ball in the first half. Finish drives in the end zone or, you know, through the uprights and defensively keeping them out of it.
Antonio Pierce, also he was at practice tonight. We'll see him tonight at the open practice last night. As the sun was setting, we're brought to you by Tequila Commissario, the Ferrari of tequilas. Jump on in and see what the Maloofs have brought to me, Tequila Commissario, as we continue on. Vinny Bonsignor joins us, as he always does every week. And, Vinny, as we get going, what'd you think of practice last night? I was only there for a bit of it. How much production was there? Was it a kind of make-or-break thing or anything unique coming out of the quarterback competition?
Yeah, well, first of all, it was extremely picturesque with the sun setting over the mountains, and it kind of harkened you back to old high school days when the time changed and it started getting darker a little bit earlier. So it was really cool seeing the Raiders out there. And I know the players appreciated the change of pace that Antonio Pierce gave them, as they will tonight when they practice in front of a crowd that is expected to exceed 40,000. So you know, I'd have to say, and I think that this was probably the universal assessment. I felt like Gardner Minshew had the better practice than Aiden O'Connell, and that's not to, you know, point any fingers at Aiden O'Connell, but we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here in terms of Antonio Pierce and the Raiders deciding on who their quarterback's going to be to start the season. Antonio pointed out last week on Sunday that it sounds like he wants to get this decision done by early next week. You got a game on September 8th. You got to start getting your guy ready. So this could be the final stages of this quarterback battle. And I think every rep, every practice, every game on Saturday against the Cowboys is going to count on where that decision ultimately goes.
Vinny Bonsignor joins us, and of course, every rep counts. I just wonder if one throw, one errant throw, or one really good catch after a decent throw is going to decide something that's taken over the last couple of months, last 4 or 5 months, whenever Gardner was signed. You really believe it's that close? Is it razor thin, in your opinion?
It feels like it is. I think for those of us who have been there every day, I think the consensus is that Gardner's probably a little bit ahead of Aiden O'Connell. Now, some would say that it's further ahead than a little bit ahead. I feel like it's a little bit ahead. That's just my personal opinion. So I still feel like I don't think a decision has necessarily been made. They may be leaning in one direction or another, and you know, this kind of final stroke on Saturday could you know, be the determining factor. But I think ultimately they're going to take the full body of work, you know, entire training camp, every practice, every rep, what happened on Saturday against the Vikings, what will happen on Saturday against the Cowboys, and make the decision that they feel puts them in the best position to win football games, because ultimately that's what this is going to be about. It's not going to be about, okay, Aiden O'Connell has the higher ceiling, he's the younger player, he's the drafted player, or Gardner Minshew is making more money and has the experience and has the bigger body of work. None of those things are going to necessarily factor in. It's going to be who they decide, who they believe, truly believe, probably after Saturday, who gives them the best chance to win football games.
Vinny Bonsignore is our guest right here on the new morning show with Vince Sapienza and Clay Baker. What does Devontae's role play in this? Because a lot of fans, rightfully so, who have been in touch with me and you are like, well, Devontae had a lot of control last year. Well, that was after a regime was let go and a new regime came in. We saw a lot of that play out on the Netflix receivers. And Devontae is a massive piece to this team. And I think he's got a really respected voice. And he's going to want to have a good year this year for a number of reasons. He wants to win. He's a productive player. He wants his production to be legit, but he wants to win the most. And, you know, he's got more reps in with Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah, I don't know, to what level he's going to play into this decision. I'm sure he's going to be kept abreast of the decision, and his input is going to be valued and brought in. But here's my thing about that whole situation. I just feel like this will extend into the regular season, and I don't mean that they're going to have an itchy finger to make any changes or rotate anybody during the regular season. I just feel like the final determination is going to happen on whoever this quarterback is. They're going to have to prove that they are the guy when it's real games get started. And I think that, depending on how it goes, if it's great, you know that Devontae is going to remain, fully on board and let the wins come and go out and compete for as many of them as you can to go try to make a playoff run. But if it's not going well, that's where I would imagine maybe his input would truly come into place in terms of, hey, maybe soliciting his opinion on a situation on whether a change needs to be made. And I'm not saying that he's going to make that call. By no means am I saying that. But I would imagine that he has a voice in that, or at least at the very least, has an open door to be able to express what those thoughts are. So, I've always maintained, ideally, the Raiders want to pick somebody, and that's the guy that is their quarterback for the next 17 weeks and however long they play, if they are fortunate enough to get into the playoffs. That's ideally. We don't know if that's going to happen. And I do think that first month of the season, those first four games, there has to be a certain level that this quarterback is playing at to help what I feel is a pretty good football team, and in some cases a really good football team, compete at their highest level. And if that's not happening, then, things may change.
Vinny, one more on a business standpoint here. You and I got to hang out the first time together when we were at that Radio Row when the Raiders were awarded Vegas, and then the money came out because of Sheldon Adelson, the $500 million. And you and I were both there, and one of the first two, if not the first two, to report that wasn't a big deal. They were going to get the money. Believe me, the money was going to come in on the Adelson money out, Bank of America. There was 3 to 4 banks that would have jumped in by nightfall that night, while a lot of people didn't know exactly what was happening behind the scenes. Did you ever think when we hung out that day on Radio Row that we'd be talking about the ninth team now in all of professional sports, or at least in the NFL, when it comes to net worth now, as this is over $6.7 billion since the move from Oakland to Vegas?
Yeah, I had to say yes. Okay. I did. I think that there was a vision for this, and it only made sense that coming to the sports capital of the world and the beautiful stadium that Mark Davis, and Mark Bedain and everybody else that was part of that whole project, you knew what the vision was. And you also knew, just talking to other owners, I can't say a can't lose proposition, but it was certainly something that every owner in the NFL was impressed by. And I'm just talking about the pitch, the money, the way it was going to be financed, what the vision was, what that stadium looked like, where it was going to be, what city it was going to be, and it blew everybody away. And I could say this: there's a general manager who told me that he was talking to a current NFL owner, not here in Las Vegas, somewhere in the NFL, who was out here, on a game week and with his team, and he had a chat with a mutual friend, and that owner expressed confidence that the lion that was getting ready to roar here in Las Vegas was imminent. It was it was going to happen. And he was talking about the value of the team. He was talking about profits and revenue and how those that revenue was going to be reinvested into the team, and that this was a team and a franchise and a market to really keep an eye on. This was about 2 years ago or so. And nothing has happened since that doesn't verify or validate what that owner was talking about. He saw it. And there are other owners that are looking at the situation and going, wow, the Raiders are really in a great position. It may not look like it right now with the wins and losses, and obviously eventually they're going to have to square away their quarterback position, as a lot of teams in the NFL do that aren't the Kansas City Chiefs or, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals or teams that have their quarterback in place. That remains to still have to happen. But when you talk about a franchise that's positioned for a long run and a great sustained run and is just on great stable ground financially and for the future, there aren't that many organizations or teams that are as set as the Raiders right now for all of those reasons. So, you know, the wins and losses, we'll see when all that gets turned around and the quarterback being in place, the championship caliber quarterback being in place. But when you talk about the health of a franchise, the Raiders are as healthy as anybody in sports.
Absolutely, and so are your proud partners. Let's hit them on the way out.
Yep, absolutely. Dos Catas Tequila, if you're here in town, just head over to Total Wines or Lee's Liquor. They've got all of the great brands of Dos Catas Tequila. And if you're not here in Las Vegas, don't worry. Just go to DosCatasSpirits.com, and you can order your next batch of Dos Catas wherever you are, and it'll get delivered wherever you are.
Thanks, Vinny. We'll see you out there tonight.
All right, take care. Enjoy it.
All right, there he is, Vinny Bonsignore. We appreciate him coming on as we continue here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. So you notice all the guests that we have, I'm asking them about the quarterback. I focus my radio show on the hits. We're not the show of the practice squad. We're not. We're the show of who's going to be the starting quarterback. That's what we do. Play the hits. That's the big story. It's a big national story, even though ESPN and Fox doesn't talk about the Raiders. They just mock the Raiders. It's a big story, and the decision's going to be made. Thor in Summerlin's been following this from the Raider Nation Drinking Club. Go ahead.
JT, what's happening, my brother, man? It's game day week. Let's go, man. We ride around the corner from seeing these guys play out in Allegiant. Mm-hmm. We're also right a few hours away from practice, where there will be more Raider fans there at a practice than all the San Diego Charger fans or LA Charger fans in the whole world combined. Will be like 5-1 to them.
I would agree.
Just
a practice alone is going to have that many people, which is pretty incredible as I look at this. So I would agree it's going to be special. You know what it's about, Thor? We always talk about over a beverage. It's about bringing kids, letting the kids come, let them have, you know, run around the stadium, have fun, take pictures, see their favorite players. I know the players are going to be very interactive with the fans there. So all of that's going to be fantastic, and I know you're going to be there.
Oh, man, it's going to be great. I can't wait. I just can't wait. You know, you see your friends out there, people you haven't seen in a while, the kids, the joy on their faces. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that important to me, but to see the joy of the kids, what's more important to me is seeing my friends and seeing the people having a great time. But and I'm ready. I'm ready to see both these quarterbacks. Honestly, don't care who wins. I guess I want to lean a little more toward Aiden. But if Gardner wins, I love Gardner, and I'm not worried about it. Everyone talks about if a quarterback struggles, oh, well, it's because he don't have the team around him. Well, we have the team around these dudes. I feel like they're going to do great. You just can't tell me with Devontae and Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers and Jacoby Meyer and Zeus and Lobby and Madison and all these cats. I feel like, man, we're ready to go no matter who's back there. They have the weapons to get it done, bro. They have the weapons. Let's go get it.
Yep.
Raider Nation, unite too, man. Positive thinking, man. Build these dudes up, man. And if you can't do that, shut the hell up and leave us alone and just be miserable by yourself. I don't know.
We don't want anybody to be miserable, but I get what you're saying, Thor. We just got everybody to be positive. We should be positive. There is a lot to talk about. Appreciate it. Everybody who's in my YouTube chat, we got 75 people in there. In a couple of months, we're going to have hundreds of people in because we got a big announcement on how this YouTube channel will be incorporated as I'm live from the Raiders. How about that? Build it and they will come. JT the Brick, YT. We're brought to you by the DeCastaverde Law Group. Their father built it. Now the brothers have your back. The brothers win. If you get into an accident and you're injured, Alex and Orlando DeCastaverde, my guys, my two guys, La Familia, 702-222-9999.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great deal. I mean, you get a different type of feeling when you walk in on that, you know, that field in Allegiant. So I know guys will be in the locker room feeling like it's a game before, even though it's not. But it's hard not to have that feeling when you walk in that building and see all those fans and see how fired up everybody is for the season. So that'll be fun.
Devontae, congratulations to he and his wife on the birth of their son, Devontae. Is back with the team as we bring in Bill Williamson, the longest tenured insider of the Raiders on this show here. Bill, where do you stand on the quarterback? Is there something a little bit more you need to see? Or have you decided on Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew? Who has the lead?
Well, you know, I think it's been a fascinating battle. It's been a true battle and don't see that very often. And, you know, it's still very much up in the air and anything I'll say is just kind of gut feeling. You know, it's obviously that we're it's winding down.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Pierce said on Sunday that the goal is to have it over with after this game. So theoretically, we can know as soon as Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I would think latest by early in the week. Because they're not going to make all their starters play in the third game.
Yes.
In preseason, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of useless to have two quarterbacks battling for a job playing with guys who maybe, you know, cut the next day, you know, playing mm-hmm. that third game. So it's pretty clear that this decision is really coming down to its final days. If I had to guess, I think it's going to be O'Connell, but mm-hmm. that's certainly not a report. That's just a kind of a guess because it seems that's what they've kind of – it's always been, mm-hmm. you know, the reports after the OTAs. He's kind of leading. Devontae mm-hmm. Adams said on a podcast, I think O'Connell's going to win. It just seems that Minshew had to really take it from him, and he mm-hmm. hasn't taken it from him yet. So that's just kind of where it's looking to
yeah,
me. That's
yeah.
my reading through the tea leaves.
Yeah, Bill Williamson joins us. You're right about one thing. You know, if you look at boxing, I go to a lot of fights, and you got to beat the champ. You know, if it comes down to a decision,
yeah.
you got to knock the champ down or knock him down. The only thing that I've been keeping an eye on, Bill, is just the matchups here. There's been no Colt Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson, period. And we're expecting them both to be back, especially Colton, who they're bringing along at that pace there. So the lack of work that the offensive line has had together leads me to believe that Gardner Minshew could be good if the pocket's breaking down because he's more mobile and can make some plays with his legs. But if the pocket's secure and Aiden's got some time, I think he and Devontae have better chemistry, and they've proven that.
Yeah, I think, you know, look at O'Connell. What worried me about him was, you know, after the training camp was, didn't seem like he's improved at all.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came in and preseason and he looked pretty efficient, right? And he did what he does. But this guy's been a preseason star. He was basically the NFL MVP of the preseason last year. So maybe he just, that's his thing. I don't know. But I think the Raiders are going to want to see improvement. He has to improve. And it was a little worrisome that he went to Costa Mesa without showing a lot of improvement. So we'll see. I just think, like, you know, Minshew has to change their mind, and I don't know if he's done enough. And it's going to be really interesting to see after this game because we're all going to be making all these proclamations
yeah.
Saturday night based on a quarter of play. And we're going to, you know, like, say one guy throws an interception. Or the other guy doesn't. Is that the decider? I don't think so.
Yeah, I would hope not. I just said, we just talked to Vinny about it too, Bonson. You, I don't think it's going to come down to one pass being intercepted or not. I think it's a whole body of work on that film study, how quick they are on the whiteboard, how much they know the game plan, and then all the practices that the you know, media and the players don't see and how they talk amongst the team in a walkthrough. Bill Williamson, 28 years covering the NFL, our longest tenured insider here for the Raiders. The defense looks good to me. I mean, the twos and threes didn't look good in Minneapolis, but the starters, I think, are good. Who do you think starts opposite of Jack Jones? Because it looks like it's going to be Jacorian Bennett there. I think he improved this offseason from what I can tell.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Bennett's a guy that started the first three or four games last year as a real surprise and then had some injuries and then kind of stepped back. So if he can get there and keep it this time, that's going to be a big push for this team, I think, a real boost. I mean, look, it's getting fairly late as far as adding a starting quality player, and they've had a lot of time to do it, and they haven't done anything. They really haven't even sniffed around that position much lately.
You're right.
At least, you know, publicly. So it seems like they're okay there. I think, you know, the secondary will be a position that they look to bolster, you know, the back of the roster once we get past the 27th. But, yeah, it looks like Bennett is going to, you know, get first crack to be a starter. They got to be healthy back there, though.
Bill, do you recall a bigger crowd ever in Raider history for a practice? I mean, we'll get the numbers tomorrow, but I'm hearing 35, 40,000. Am I missing something? Was there one like that at the Coliseum in Oakland or in L.A.? Because the Raiders have had some open practices at training camp, but never a crowd side like this, as I can recall.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's just part of the Vegas deal, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very smart by announcing it, you know, several weeks in advance, and it's a destination, and it's a chance for people to get to that stadium. I bet there's going to be a nice percentage of people there tonight that's going to be their first time there because they just haven't had a chance to get there in the first 3 years. And let's face it, it's very expensive to go to a game there. Tonight's a nice opportunity. And, you know, get to Vegas in the summer heat. Why not? I think it'll be a fun atmosphere.
Thank you, Bill. We'll got you in the slot every couple of weeks in this time slot. Always appreciate your insight.
All right.
There you go. You got it. Bill Williamson. Appreciate him. That was a busy hour. Jason Horowitz, Vinny Bonsignor, Bill Williamson. All three really important to the show as we get rolling here on the other side. Hey, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers is really important to this show because their drive through, I'm going through it all the time. I'm a caniac. My kids are, and we love the fact that you're now back to school. Going back to school, get Cane's in your rotation. On pickups, coming home, you want to feed your kids the best chicken fingers, the buttery Texas toast, the fries, everything they have. Lemonade for mom and dad and iced tea. It's all waiting for you. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.